The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 11. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari. Recorded on September 13th, 2011, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Burini.
Buri.
Karmani. Shrotavyani. Vibhagasha Atta Sadho Atra Yat Saram Samudritya Manishaya Bruhi Badraya Bhutanam Yena Atma Supersedity Burini Buri Karmani
Burini Buri Karmani
Shrotavyani Vibhagasha
Shrotavyani Vibhagasha
Atasadho Trayat Sarang
Atasadho Trayat Sarang
Samudritya
Manishaya
Bruhi Badraya Bhutanang Yenatma Supersedati Burini Multifarious Buri Many Karmani Duties Shrotavyani Learned Vibhagasha By divisions of subject matter. Atta. Therefore. Sadho. O sage. Atra. Herein. Yet. Whatever. Saram. Essence. Samudritya.
By selection.
Manishaya,
best to your knowledge.
Bruhi,
please tell us.
Badraya,
for the good of.
Bhutanam,
the living beings.
Yena,
by which.
Atma,
the self.
Supersedity.
Becomes fully satisfied.
It's easier for me to read here because it's lit up.
Thank you.
You want
then.
This one, bigger one, you can have bigger one. Yeah, give this bigger one.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are many varieties of scriptures. And in all of them, there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instructions, their hearts may be fully satisfied. Purport. Atma, or self, is distinguished from matter and the material elements. It is spiritual in constitution, and thus it is never satisfied by any amount of material planning. All scriptures and spiritual instructions are meant for the satisfaction of this self, or Atma. There are many varieties of approaches which are recommended for different types of living beings in different times and at different places.
Consequently, the numbers of revealed scriptures are innumerable. There are different methods and prescribed duties recommended in these various scriptures. Taking into consideration the fallen condition of the people in general in this age of Kali, the sages of Naimasharanya suggested that Sri Suta Goswami relate the essence of all such scriptures, because in this age it is not possible for the fallen souls to understand and undergo all the lessons of all these various scriptures in a varna and ashram system. The varna and ashram society was considered to be the best institution for lifting the human being to the spiritual platform. But due to Kali Yuga, it is not possible to execute the rules and regulations of these institutions. Nor is it possible for the people in general to completely sever relations with their families, as the Varnashram institution prescribes. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. And considering this, one can see that spiritual emancipation for the common man in this age is very difficult. The reason the sages presented this matter to Sri Suta Goswami is explained in the following verses. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivishakam Vitamscha. The Vedic scriptures are a vast ocean of scriptural injunctions. Therefore, to be able to capture the essence of them is very important. Because we live very short lives, our lifespan is very short in this age. And we're so much disturbed with the ordinary daily affairs, very difficult. Even to earn a living now is very difficult. People struggle like anything. At jobs they don't like to do. It's just a very unnatural situation. Previously, people were engaged in an occupation which was according to their nature. So people enjoyed doing their work, you see. But now it's such a topsy-turvy age, it's such a disturbed age, that even for earning a livelihood, people are very unhappy. What to speak of, spiritual values, of understanding the actual nature of the self, the Atma. We had a whole discussion yesterday there in Ahaloy about the previous verse. Payanopa yusha shabya kalavasman yuge janaha. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men are but short-lived. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and above all, their minds are always disturbed like anything. So it's a very, very problematic situation. But the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that it cuts through all of this disturbance. It cuts through all of this difficulty, and it gives one a platform, gives one a shelter in which one can actually be relieved. It's like maybe a bad rainstorm, but if you have a good umbrella, you're okay, you see. It's raining everywhere, but you got a really good umbrella and you're okay. You got a nice, big, strong umbrella, so you're okay. You're not getting drenched by the rain. So you're able to take shelter of that umbrella and do your work nicely, even though there's a horrible rainstorm going on. So this is an umbrella, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. This is an umbrella which protects us from the influence of the age of Kali. So we can live peacefully, we can live happily in this lifetime, and we can prepare ourselves to live in that eternal existence with Krishna, where everything is natural and wonderful and beautiful, not this unnatural, ugly situation we find ourselves in now. We try to manufacture some so-called enjoyment here, but it's so empty, really. Just like we just came from that resort town, St. Vlas. Supposedly a great place of enjoyment. So many hotels there, and the tourists come. You know, but it's so empty there. What is it? Just some ocean water sitting there. What is the big deal? A beach and some ocean water. You can jump around the waves for a few minutes. Where is the pleasure, really, in these things? You see? There's no pleasure unless we can connect with our true self. People are so misguided that they try to get happiness from sense gratification. The body has nothing to do with us. It's like, this is my shirt here, you see. Is it me? No, it's not me. Now, can I stick this shirt in a cup of milk and get any nutritional value from sticking my shirt in a cup of milk? No. Can't do that. If I want nutritional value, I should put the milk down my throat here, down my mouth, you see. So it goes to the stomach and then it's distributed throughout the entire body. Then there is actual benefit of that milk. But simply to touch my shirt, put my kurta into the cup of milk, doesn't accomplish anything, just gets my kurta dirty itself. So the present moment, we are trying to be satisfied by sticking the kurta in the cup of milk, which is not us. We're trying to be satisfied by gratifying the material senses. You may say, well, why would people do some stupid thing like that? Because we're being brainwashed into thinking that this body is me. I mean, everywhere you go, every billboard, every person, I mean, every magazine, every newspaper, every movie, everywhere they're propagating this lie that I am the body, that you are the body. We're being programmed by mass propaganda techniques into thinking the body is the self. It's just, it's not true. Every billboard, every movie, every song, every pop song, it's all simply propagating this false lie that I'm the body. And it's hard for us to pull out of it because our nature is, it is stated, man is a social animal. It's hard for us to pull out of it because our natural tendency is to identify with whatever people around us are identifying with. That's a natural psychological factor of a human being. We're in a situation where everybody thinks that I'm the body, then you tend to think that I'm the body. It's just a psychological reality. This is why the association, this is of sadhus, is very important. It's absolutely essential. This is why Lord Chaitanya says, asat sangha tyag, the first principle of surrendering to Krishna is detach yourself from material association. Because that material association is poison. Even they may be friendly and nice, they may mean well, but it's in ignorance. By their so-called friendliness and compassionate dealings, they're encouraging you to consider to identify yourself as being this body. You see, once actually one realizes I'm not the body, then it's easy to do Krishna consciousness. It makes all the sense in the world to chant the rounds, to follow the principle. For one who is fully convinced I have nothing to do with this material body, it's the most natural, easy thing to do. So we have difficulties sometimes in practicing Krishna consciousness because we still are rooted in this concept that I'm the body, even though we can say I'm not the body. You know, saying it and feeling it are two different things. We can say, oh yeah, Prabhu, I'm not the body. Yeah, Gurudev, I'm not the body. We can say that. But the trouble is we don't feel it. You see. We theoretically understand it, but we have not practically realized it. That's a difficult. That's why devotees sometimes have difficulty in their Krishna consciousness, standing their rounds, following the principle. Because they have not been able to get free of this conception of I'm the body. As long as I think that I'm the body, then this chanting doesn't make any sense. What benefit is it giving the body, you see? The body is benefited by eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Where does chanting fit into that? It doesn't fit in. It doesn't. So the only way that chanting will make sense is when one realizes I'm not the body. Just like one lady, she just written me from Argentina. No, excuse me, from Chile. She said she's having a hard time with her chanting, but at least she's doing one round every day. One round every day. But I wrote her, you know, she wants to see me. She sees me as her as guru. She wants to be my disciple, hopefully someday. But she's an educated woman. But still, she can only do one round every day. So I wrote her back. I said, what is this? I mean, do you eat? What do you need every day? You feed your body sufficiently to nourish it every day. That goes on without fail. And now you're not, but you're not chanting sufficiently. So why? That means you're still thinking that you're the body. You see? If the body is given so much care, which you are not the body, by feeding it properly, the sufficient meals every day, then how you can neglect the spirit soul sitting within? You see, the actual self deserves better care than the temporary covering of the self. So this is why I explain it. This is really the basic principle. We, the present moment, our tendency is to give more care to the body than it is to the actual self. That's our tendency. Because we live in a society which convinces us by every billboard, etc., that I am the body. I mean, it's really gross here in Bulgaria. Of course, everywhere it's gross, but I'm just seeing. I mean, all these billboards, you know, it's just all the magazines, the newspapers, and the airplane we're seeing it, you know. Somebody in front of you opens up the newspaper and there's some woman, you know, practically naked woman, just in the regular newspaper. And, you know, when you turn on the Nokia phone, it shows, you know, a man and a woman's hand come together. And, damn, the affection of my existence, hold hand with a beautiful woman, you see. Just to turn on your mobile phone. I mean, you know, that's how ingrained it is. Just to turn on your mobile phone, you have to see, you know, Adam and Eve hands coming together so now they can enjoy sex. Now reunited, our hands are connected. Our hands are connected. I mean, it's so deeply ingrained. The whole culture. This is why to become Krishna conscious, you have to say, this is nonsense culture. I want nothing to do with it. I just want Krishna culture. I want to associate with advanced devotees. I want to serve the advanced devotees. Even neophytes, you see, they still linger in this false platform. It's like we had this big, and so many devotees were there. They were staying at that hotel. Did they get up early for Mangalarti? No, they slept late. Just like Karmis. They slept after the sunrise. Just like Karmis. Instead of getting up for Mangalarti, the deities are there. Even Jagannath is there. But no, they can't rise to worship Jagannath. Then. The Supreme Personality of God is neglected because the beach is more important. Is it? Even our devotees. You see, they have this. Even our leaders here, you see, he was a part of the whole thing too. Devotees here are very, very neophyte. I hate, you know, I have to say all the truth. They're very, very neophyte. Devotees here, this country, are very, very, at least here, the gathering, the devotees who are there, is very, very neophyte mentality. Giving, there's Krishna consciousness, but there's so much bodily consciousness the devotees have, you see. So much bodily consciousness. But this doesn't bring happiness. Maybe some temporary happiness. Oh, we get to have a great time running up and down the beach, throwing a ball around, you know, jumping in the water, making like a fish. For a few minutes, I can enjoy sporting in the Black Sea. But what is that pleasure? It's not the real pleasure. The real pleasure is to enter into that ocean of bhakti. That's where you... Will the Black Sea save you at the time of death? If one is thinking of the Black Sea, what do you think will become their next life, Sarah Brahman? If one's meditating on the Black Sea at the time of leaving his body. I really enjoyed that day. It was so wonderful swimming in the Black Sea. What will they become in their next life? A fish. Yeah? Become a fish in their next life. I know personally, there's not much there. There's hardly any waves. But at one time, I was requested to become the sales manager of Back to Godhead magazine. And Back to Godhead magazine at that time was located near our San Diego temple, a few blocks away, in a neighborhood of San Diego which is called Pacific Beach. And it's right on the beach. And this is a beach, I mean, really a beach with a big surf coming in, the surfboard. I mean, they're really enjoying out there. The Black Sea, there's not really much. That's all you have, so you make a big deal out of it. But in America, nobody would even think about it. They want to go to a place like San Diego where the big surf is coming in, the surfers can ride their boards. It's a huge enjoyment place, Pacific Beach, California. So that's where the temple was. And we were living on Pacific Beach Drive, that where we were living. We were right there in the middle of it. And just a few blocks away, we were living there. That was our residence. A few blocks away from the ocean. And the climate was so nice, you didn't need air conditioning, you didn't need heat. It was just the most ideal climate in all of the U.S. is San Diego. So full facility for enjoyment. It's just like air conditioned all year round. You're walking in an air conditioned room. Ah, so comfortable. All year round, natural air conditioned. And the beach is there. So sometimes I would go to the beach just to chant Japa walk. But not one time did I put on a bathing suit and jump in the water. Not even one time. I wasn't even attracted to it. And for a whole year we lived in Pacific Beach. I didn't even one time get in that water because it's, the whole Krishna consciousness is so much more relishable than jumping around in some salt water, you see. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it, but I'm just saying I wasn't attracted to it. I'm not saying devotees are forbidden to do those things. Sometimes we used to go swimming in the river when I was preaching in Gainesville. It was okay, no harm. A little recreation is part of Krishna consciousness. Krishna said, temperate in your habits of eating, sleeping, working, recreation. There's no harm for a little recreation. But not that you sacrifice your sadhana. We give up our sadhana for a little recreation. Or for a lot of recreation. Minimize the sadhana, sleep late so we can enjoy a good day at the beach. That's not right. You see? One should have very nice sadhana. And then, if there's some free time and one wants a little recreation like that, there's no harm. But not that the sadhana is neglected, you see. We'll sleep, get up after sunrise. No. That early morning should not be neglected. So, the whole point is we have to get to the essence of the Vedic wisdom. And that is described by Sita Goswami. that essence of Vedic wisdom is very nicely given by Sutta Goswami. As he reveals the Bhagavatam philosophy to the sages of Naimisharanya. So what should our mood be? We should be in the mood of the sages of Naimisharanya. They had actually gathered to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice. Can you imagine that? We've invited, 3 of you have come for class today. We said, okay now, to hold off the influence of Kali Yuga, we're going to go on for 1,000 years now with this class. And you're going to have some special power. You won't have to eat or sleep, even go to the toilet. You're going to give them some special power. You can just sit here. Ikshvaka, what do you think? You can sit here for 1,000 years and hear Bhagavatam? You see? Just imagine. That's what they were doing. They were sitting. They had gathered for 1,000 years sacrifice. Just to do yajna, to hold off the influence of Kali. So, that should be our mood. We should be in that mood that let us do the Sankirtan Yajna, this Krishna consciousness process as taught by Prabhupada, to drive the influence of Kali out of our hearts and also to hold that back the influence on this planet. You see? That should be our mood. The mood, we should have the same mood of the sages of Naimisharanya. And if we do that, we're going to be really happy, very happy, in a perfect state of Krishna consciousness. So now we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's any questions. Yes, Vladimir.
I'll use the translator. Вопрос е, когато общуваме с представители на християнската религия, трябва ли да се опитваме да ги асоциираме към Кришна съзнание или да ги мотивираме да бъдат по-добри християни. Трябва да кажем, откажи се от християнството или ева в разбрава. Да.
When we associate with representatives of the Christian religion, should we encourage them to follow better their own religion, or we should try to bring them to Krishna consciousness?
That depends on the individual. If they are open to understanding the universal nature of religion, you can bring them here. But if they're in a sectarian mentality, they cannot understand the universal nature of religion, then encourage them to become perfect Christians by giving up meat eating. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So why are they killing? They're violating their own Bible. And ask them this. Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. Can you imagine that Jesus would take a knife and he would slit that lamb's throat and then eat the lamb? Can you picture Jesus doing that? You can ask them. Do you think Jesus would kill the lamb and eat its flesh? Ask them. People can't imagine that Jesus would do such a thing. He loves the little lamb. He would never kill the lamb and eat the lamb. You see? So in this way, you try to, if they can't, they're not willing to come here and chant Hare Krishna, then teach them at least to become vegetarian Christians so they can become a little more intelligent about spiritual life. In the future, they can come to Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes. Yes, anything else? I got 5 minutes. Ishvaku must be tired.
A little. But when preaching to Christian, if you bring out, huh? You shall not kill, they give some other things also from the Bible that meat eating is allowed.
Meat eating, okay. They say, well, there's some verses in the Bible that allow meat eating. So it's okay. Well, you can say the same argument about the Vedas also. The Vedas condemn meat eating, but at the same time allow it for those who are sinful to do it under regulation. So the Bible condemns meat eating. The same way, the Bible condemns meat eating, but allows it for those who are sinful under concession. Just the government also does them. Just like the government discourages smoking. At the same time, they make some facility for the smokers to smoke. Because they know people, not everyone can give it up, even though the government wants them to give it up. Not everyone can, so they facilitate those who cannot. So the Bible actually wants everyone to give up meat eating, but make some concession for those who are not able to do so. Just like the Vedas do the same thing. The higher principle is to give it up. Even in the Quran also, there's the path of increasing sense enjoyment and the path of decreasing sense enjoyment are given in the Quran also, Nivritti Marg and Pravritti Marg. So these scriptures, the Vedas, the Quran and the Bible, they actually are teaching renunciation, but for those who can't do it, okay, have your sense enjoyment in a regulated way so that eventually you can become detached. All the scriptures are saying that. So this is a universal principle in all religions. Those who use scriptural codes to enjoy the material world in a more pious way don't go back to Godhead. They do not go back to Godhead. But at least they have some hope of realizing God in the future, because at least they're going to God for their sense gratification. But they can't realize God. They can't really know God. They can know of God, but they can't know God. That's a difference. They've heard about him, he's there, but they can't personally know him. That's the difference. It's like I can say, I know of President Obama, I've heard of him, I know of him, but I don't know him personally, you see. So these religionists who use scripture for sense enjoyment, they know of God, but they don't know God. There's a difference. They're familiar, they've heard of him, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. To have a personal relationship with God, you have to become sinless. He only allows into his personal company those persons who are sinless. As long as one is addicted to material sense pleasure, they can worship God from a distance. They can never become intimate with God. In this Krishna consciousness movement, we are teaching you how to become an intimate associate of God. That's what we are teaching you. How to become an intimate associate of God. So, our time is, we got about 1 minute left. Any questions? Yes.
Why Krishna tells Arjuna that don't worry, you are of godly qualities. Because anyone can change his qualities.
What's the question, Devi?
He's asking why Krishna is telling Arjuna that you are born with pious qualities or godly qualities when everyone can change his qualities.
He tells Arjuna that you're born with saintly qualities?
Don't worry, you have saintly qualities.
You're born with saintly qualities.
Well, he's encouraging. He's preaching to Arjuna. And when one preaches Krishna consciousness, you preach according to that individual person to encourage them. So he's preaching to Arjuna. Arjuna is an individual person. He's whatever Arjuna has that Krishna can use to preach to him in such a way to encourage him to surrender, that's what he's doing. So I don't understand what the question is.
The question is that one can change his qualities during his lifetime. So why can't
you? Oh, yes, definitely. By chanting Hare Krishna, you can change your qualities. Because actually, your innate quality is you have pure love of God within you. You're a pure devotee, Ikshvaku. You have pure bhakti within you. This other stuff is just a covering, that's it. Just like the clouds can cover the sun and it becomes a cloudy, dreary day. But the natural position is a sunny day like today. You see? So you have pure bhakti within you. Now it's simply covered by the clouds of sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. But this chanting process, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. You can drive those clouds away and regain your original nature. Everyone is a saint. Everyone is a pure devotee of Krishna. But they're covered by the clouds of the modes of nature. So by chanting at least 16 rounds regularly, following these four-legged principles, you very quickly drive away these clouds. That's why we asked our devotees to do them. Chant 16 rounds, follow these principles. It's like the sun. We were visiting our temple, New Govardhan in Australia. It's beautiful. The beautiful valley is there, the mountains. In the early morning, the fog just came in and completely the whole valley was enshrouded in fog. But when the sun rose, it gradually burned away the fog. It was all gone, you see. So with the sun of Krishna consciousness, you can burn away the sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun, and have nothing left except pure bhakti. So you have those saintly, everyone has those saintly qualities within them. Everyone has. Even the most vile demon is a saint within them. Hiranyakashipu is a pure devotee. Kamsa is a pure devotee, but it's buried, that's all, deeply behind this demoniac coverings of. Anything else? Time is up. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Gandharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.